Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. You're invested in a market or two or three. How do you keep your thumb on the pulse of what's going on in that market? Lots to talk about today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
If you want to retire in the next 5 years or less through real estate, then please pay close attention. My name is Brad Sumrock, and I've taught thousands of my students how to replace their incomes, quit their jobs, and retire faster than they ever thought possible by not investing in single-family homes. You see, there's a secret to retiring fast with little risk, and it has nothing to do with being a landlord, fixing toilets, or flipping houses. The secret is multifamily apartment buildings. Starting from scratch with zero experience, I managed to pocket over $1 million in cash and retire from my 17-year corporate job within 3 years of apartment investing. Now, this is not your typical no-money-down real estate training. We believe in smart, hard work for intelligent people. So if you're good with your finances, have a decent job, or saving your money, and you're looking for a change and getting out of the rat race, then investing in apartment buildings might just be the answer you've been looking for. Send an email right now to Sumrock at realestateguysradio.com to get the details of my upcoming training event. And you'll also receive my free training webinar, Apartment Investing for Beginners. That's Sumrock, S-U-M-R-O-K, at realestateguysradio.com.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio show. I'm your host, Robert Helms. Joining me, as usual, our co-host, financial strategist, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
A big shout out to all the folks who just joined us on the Dallas field trip. So fun to hang out with a group of investors and see 300 miles of the Metroplex and sing at the piano bar.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun. Every time we get a chance to hang out with people in the audience that are out there coming from all different markets, that's what's really gratifying. You know, when we get a chance to do these live events and interact with you folks out there, we learn. We learn about your market. We learn about the types of deals you're doing, like Ask the Guys. We love Ask the Guys questions, right? The best Ask the Guys questions are the ones when people come and they actually spend time with us and ask us questions. They're like, okay, that's what people out there are thinking about. So in the course of doing all that, we thought, you know what? We're here talking about a market. These people are all going to go back. How do you pay attention to a market when you're not living in the market? And so we're going to talk about that today.
Yeah, you know, in this particular field trip, most of the folks were from out of the area and many several states away. And that's how we, where I always love to say, live where you want to live, because you should have a lifestyle that you enjoy and be in the place that you want to be, but invest where the numbers make sense. Many times we look to markets that are outside our immediate market to invest in, and yet you've got to have boots on the ground. You've got to be paying attention. And a part of this is understanding a market in general. So there's kind of two phases. There's when I'm in the courting process of a market. I'm thinking about a market. I hear a buzz. People are telling me, oh, this is a good market to invest in. So I'm going to be doing my market analysis research, my due diligence, if you will, on a market. Place. Then there's that period of time once you're invested in a market and quote unquote married to that market, you got to keep up on the market. So when we're talking today about keeping your thumb on the pulse of a market, it's first understanding what there is in the market to pay attention to and then learning how to pay attention to it.
When you're looking at a market from afar, you are looking at statistics, you are looking at reports. A lot of the information, especially if you're getting it from the news, is slanted or written from the standpoint of talking to paper asset investors or homeowners.
Right.
Very few people in mainstream media write anything that's aimed at talking to a real estate investor. So what's bad for a homeowner could actually be good for a real estate investor. And so, you know, think, oh, the rents are going up. That's terrible for the homeowners, or it's terrible for the tenants. Well, yeah, but it's great for the landlord.
Yeah.
So it's just one of many, many examples. The other thing is a lot of the things we're looking at are in the rearview mirror. They're things that have happened in the past. And the idea of taking the pulse is like what's happening right now and then comparing where has it been in the past to where it is right now. And that gives you kind of a directional. It gives you a trend. Is it up? Is it down? Is it moving sideways or whatever it is? And of course, the thing is that now is always only now. If I'm going to do something that's now, a month from now, it's in the past. And so if I want to stay up to date on now, we're going to be talking about how do you stay up to date on now when now is always moving forward.
Well, yeah, and this is critical because markets do change. And if you're researching a market, you're typically researching now, hoping to invest fairly soon. But it's even more critical in my mind when you're in a market. People get lazy. You know, people come on this field trip. They came on this field trip 5 years ago. They bought in Dallas. All right, in hindsight, that looked brilliant because the market is done really well. But if you're not paying attention, the market is going to change. It's not whether it'll change, it's when is it going to change. You got to stay up to date. You owe it to yourself and your portfolio and the legacy of your family investment to make sure you're watching and paying attention.
If you're old enough to have gone to a high school reunion, especially one that has a couple of digits in it, then you know exactly what we're talking about. See, because you have a snapshot in your mind's eye of these people that you went to high school with, what they look like, how they acted, and then you wait 10 years and you go back and you haven't seen them in 10 years and you find out, wow, they've changed, you know, and of course you don't recognize the change in yourself most of the time, right? Because you see yourself every day and you're like, okay, well, you know, I kind of feel the same. I feel like I kind of look the same. And then you go back and like, oh my God, did I really look like that? Right. You know, and you're sitting there looking at your friends and you think to yourself, whoa, they look so much older. They look so much different. They're looking at you thinking exactly the same things. Well, think about a real estate market like that. Spend the time to go in, like we just did this Dallas field trip. You spend the time to get to, you know, the snapshot really of what the market is. You look at it in the here and now. You know what the stats are. You know what the migration was. You know what the economic drivers are. You have an idea what the infrastructure looks like. You kind of have an idea what the rents and the price points are all about, what the tenant landlord law looks like, what the property tax are. All of the things that you learn about in a market, and you get a snapshot and you make a decision and you purchase a property, and then you go to sleep.
Right.
And then you just collect the rent checks and you get bored and you take your eye off the ball, and the market could begin to shift on you and you don't recognize the change until somebody comes and wakes you up. And most of the time, the thing that wakes you up is a problem, and it's a problem you could have seen coming if you would have been paying attention.
So let's talk about paying attention, because I think the first thing is, for us, the perspective we have when we come to a market like this once a year, we notice the difference. To your point about the reunion, if you see a friend once a year, you see change. If you see him every day, you don't really notice the change. So one of the recommendations I'm going to make is, the markets that you're interested in, you need to go see. There's a feel, there's a vibrancy that you can tell a lot about a market when you're in that market that you will never get online by doing your research on the internet. It's a great start, and you should start online because it's less expensive, you can focus, but eventually you got to get out of your seat and get on a bus or a plane or a train, and you got to go there.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first thing we talk about on Friday night when we open up the event. We're saying, how to get the most out of this weekend? What are you here to do? Well, you're here to pick up a vibe. You're here to try to understand the market almost at a gut level. And that isn't that it's not scientific. That isn't that it isn't data driven.
Right.
But you have to understand there's so many things, just like with communication. Only 7% of communication are the words. Only a small percentage of the feel of a market is in the data. And so the data is in the context of the feel, and the feel is in the context of the data. They go together. They're not mutually exclusive. You can't just be data driven.
Right.
A lot of people take pride in being data driven, but then they're missing a lot of the nuances. If you think about that, when you look at things that you shop for, or when you make any value proposition at all, let's talk about one of the biggest value propositions ever, right? A spouse. That's not data driven.
Right.
I mean, you may have some logic in your mind, but there's a feel. There's a sense. There's a compatibility. Does this person align with me and my values and my mission and my vision? We talk about personal investment philosophy a lot on the Sunday morning, which was really, in the ideal world, we would do it on the front end of the trip, but we have to do it on the Sunday morning in the debrief session. But the point is that you start out with your personal investment philosophy. Who am I as an investor? What am I looking for? What do I want to accomplish? Both in terms of financial data results, but in terms of lifestyle and experience and demographic that I want to deal with, places I would be willing to travel to, places I would never want to travel to, right? There's a lot of things that are subjective, because this is a personal business. And so a market is going to have to align with that. And so some of that you are going to have to feel. And you can't really feel the demographic. You can look at stats. Oh, well, there's this much of this ethnicity, or this is the average age or income group or whatever. But when you go into the thing and you're in the grocery store, the Starbucks, or we go into the Walmart or the Costco, and we're hanging around people, when we're walking through an apartment complex, we're looking at the cars, and we get a chance to interact with the tenants and the team and all the things that go on, you're beginning to get a feel for the market. You can't put a number on that. You can't put it in a graph or a spreadsheet. You almost really can't write about it on a website, because even though somebody's writing those words. It's the person who experienced it's writing the words. And two people can watch the same movie and see very different things and feel very different things. And that's the mystery of market analysis gelling with your personal investment philosophy and strategy.
Well, we saw a great example of that this weekend. Michael Becker was on the tour with us, and he showed us an apartment complex that he and a partner own, and they've owned it for some time. So we got to hear the story in the context of that. And he put together a great little six-page case study where we got all the numbers. Here's what we bought it for. Here's the money we spent. Here's CapEx. Here's the rents. Here's the unit mix. All the data. But what we learned walking through it, meeting tenants, him explaining the tenant profile, and all of a sudden was like, oh, I get it. Standing outside that building and looking at it, it was hard to get. When he explained the tenant profile, we walked through, we met the manager, we saw a unit, we saw a couple of the courtyards, we saw the cars in the parking lot. It was like, ding, ding, ding. Everybody got it. Everyone's like, oh, I get this. Just reading that sheet, I could email you that PDF right now, and you wouldn't get half of the context of the building and the story and the market as you would by standing there.
If you were buying a property to live in where it was important to you, would you buy it off of an appraisal? Just give me an appraisal. I'll just look at the appraisal. I can see the pictures and see the floor plan and
the measurements.
Get the measurements and, you know, and that's good enough. That's all I need.
No possible way.
I don't need the context. I don't need to drive the neighborhood. I don't need to see the neighbors. I don't need to see if they keep their lawns up or take care of their cars or if there's graffiti. I don't.
Just give me the data.
Just give me the data.
That's crazy. No, of course
not. You would never do that.
Nope.
You would never do that. And so real estate investing, although it's data driven, I'm the guy that says do the math and the math will tell you what to do. That's true. But it's personal. It's very personal. You're going to be dealing with people. I mean, at the end of the day, any business, and especially this business, is a people business. So the team, those are people. Your tenants, your property manager, those are people. Your vendors, those are people. They're all people. The local law enforcement, who you may get involved with, the local planning commission, the city council. They're just, you have to get a feel. And, you know, it starts out with you're coming in on the airplane and you're asking the people you're sitting next to, hey, are you headed out or are you headed home? Oh, I'm headed home. Oh, really? Tell me about it. How long I'm coming in to take a look at the market. Tell me a little bit. How long have you lived here? Blah, blah, blah. You're going to get intel that you cannot find anywhere else. The taxi cab driver, the Uber driver, whoever picks you up and takes you to the hotel, you're asking the same question. So are you local? I mean, you've been here a long time. Tell me about the market. What's going on here? You know, how's the economy? You can start to ask questions. You get a 360. You get people who have no vested interest in selling you anything. They're just making conversation. They will be brutally honest, and you can begin to get a feel. You look around and you start to see, does this community take pride in itself? Are there a lot of angry people? Are they honking the horn at each other? Are they flipping each other off? Are they vandalizing the neighborhood? Or, you know, are people smiling and friendly? And, you know, are you getting cut off in traffic? Or are people like, oh, yeah, you know, I mean, we found out in Texas, Texas drivers are generally pretty polite. New York and California, not so much, right? So how do you put that down somewhere? You can't. You have to be in the market to get a feel for it. And to me, and again, I laugh at the fact that I'm the spreadsheet guy and I have so much energy on this, but I learned, Robert, from you, going into a market and meeting the market and feeling the market is as much a part of a successful real estate investing experience as doing the math.
We call it kicking the dirt, and you need to get to the market. So that's the first idea, is that don't just go there once and be done. Make sure you're visiting pretty regularly. And of course, there's tax reasons you might want to do that too. Always good to inspect. I love to come in and make an appointment with my property manager. I also love to come in completely unannounced, right? Those are two different things. I love to walk properties where no one knows I'm going to be there. I also like to see what they show me when they know I'm coming and put the, you know, their best foot forward. All that makes sense. We're talking today about keeping your thumb on the pulse of a market. If you're in the market, if you think about getting into the market, and we've got a lot of great techniques and ideas to share with you. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Memphis is famous for being the home of the king of rock and roll, but it's also the king of cash flow. If you're looking for affordable cash flow properties, it's hard to beat Memphis. Get your portfolio rocking and more cash flowing your way by calling Terry Kerr at Mid-South Home Buyers. Terry's the king of turnkey properties. Contact Terry through the resource section at realestateguysradio.com.
And be sure to order Terry's Tips for Turnkey Rental Property Investing Report. It's free. Just send your request to turnkey@realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Patrick from Paradigm Life. I've recently written an ebook called The Perpetual Wealth Strategy. The ebook discusses one of the best investments, real estate, combined with a financial vehicle used by the wealthy, many U.S. presidents, famous actors, athletes, and even Houdini himself. You can download the ebook for free in the resources section on the Real Estate Guys Radio homepage. Don't wait. Go download it now.
Hello, this is Robert Kiyosaki. I'm the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And if you're serious about learning how to invest in real estate, listen to the Real Estate Guys. They really know what they're talking about.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. Hey, if you've ever wanted to do bigger deals with bigger money, even other people's money, come on out to the secrets of successful syndication. You're going to meet a bunch of really great people and learn a ton from our amazing faculty. All the details on the website at realestateguysradio.com. Today we're talking about a market, and specifically, how do you stay current? How do you keep current with what's going on in the market, understand the pulse of the market? And there's a lot of ways to do that. First, we should talk about what is the pulse of a market. As a real estate investor, what is it that is interesting to me? Well, that'll be market-driven, but in most cases, I'm interested in the economy. I'm interested in jobs. I'm interested in the sustainable drivers in a marketplace, things, reasons that companies are coming, that people are coming, that future tenants are coming.
Yeah. So if you were to look at an economic analysis of a particular market, maybe a pie chart of the different industries and employment bases, you know, is it financial services, manufacturing, mining, transportation, distribution, government, you look at all those different things. Obviously, a place with a military base is going to be different than a place with a major airport or a port, right? You're probably not going to have a port in a flat state. There's going to be things, but maybe you have railways or a river. So there's different things that are part of the infrastructure that drive the economy and what the job makeup is. So once you kind of know what that is, then you can figure, well, who are the major employers, right? The cones or the primary drivers, the big companies that kind of create jobs, a lot of secondary and tertiary jobs. You've got a big manufacturing plant. Back in the day, let's just use Detroit as an example. You've got the big automotive industry. Detroit was an automotive town, big automotive industry. And so you had these people selling cars all over the world, bringing money in from outside. Great. But they also have all kinds of suppliers that are building parts and doing subcontract work and stuff. And they're there in the area. And of course, we found out during the Great Recession, right, when GM was in trouble, that saving GM was saving a lot more than saving GM, because it was all the businesses that fed off of GM. Now, I'm not saying that the government should have or shouldn't have, doesn't matter, but it's a great case study in what a major industry can do in a particular area.
Well, and the fact that a major industry has these satellite industries, we see that in a lot of markets. We certainly saw it here. And then those tertiary jobs you speak of, which are the service jobs to service the people and the families that are there for those main industries. Without the main industry, nobody's there. Without the secondary industries, you don't have as many people going to the coffee shops and the dry cleaner and groceries. And many times, as real estate investors, our tenant are those people. They're the barista. They're the checkout clerk. They're those folks. But we can't just focus on those tertiary jobs. As investors, we have to focus on what's the main industry. And then that's something you pay attention to. Not only the companies, but the industries. If there's a big change in the major industry in your market, there's perhaps a big change coming in the market.
Well, I'll give you an example. So several years ago, my son was trying to walk onto the Boise State football team. And so he went up there and he rolled in Boise. And of course, me being me, I'm driving around and I'm asking the cabbie, and I'm finding out that there was a major electronics company there. Boise State is like the largest employer in Boise. It was like 20,000, 30,000 people. Big, big, big driver. Brings money in from the outside, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But there was another major company that had moved out. And so they took all their jobs with them. And so the service jobs, those things remain for a while, but as the weakness of losing that major driver begins to work its way through the economy, those other jobs begin to go away. So I might say, well, yeah, but they left, but none of my tenants work there. No, but your tenants served those people, and that source of income went away. And that's why we call it a primary driver, and why it's important you pay attention to it. And so a lot of times those things are being reported in the local business journal. And so if you're going to be invested in a market, it's a good idea to pay attention attention to the local economic publications. Read the local business section in the newspaper. Subscribe to the local business journal, maybe even the Chamber of Commerce in the area if they have a newsletter coming out. They're going to be talking about their wins. The paper will be reporting on the losses. And don't just think that it's direct. Don't just think, oh, if that company, none of my tenants work for that company. No, they don't. But if that's a primary driver and you have to know how to look at a market and segregate, is this a primary driver, a secondary, or a tertiary employer?
Well, we had a great example of that this weekend. We saw a brand new multi-billion dollar campus being built by a big company whose name you would know, and they're creating 5,500 jobs. That's a lot more than 5,500 jobs, because
yes,
each of those jobs create these other jobs we're talking about, so much so that the housing in this area is booming like crazy. And this is not a temporary situation. Like, take, we talked about, you know, in the past about the Bakken and a lot of those jobs that were temporary. And for a while, there was a huge demand for housing. Now, not so much. This particular industry and employer is here to stay. They have just relocated a major workforce and are in the process of doing that. That's a huge clue to the marketplace. So I want to be clued into that. To your point, whether or not my tenant works for that company, my tenant and my investment is going to be affected by this company in a positive way. And what's great is all this information is easy to find out if you'll pay attention. In a few minutes, Russ is going to give you a very practical, tactical way to do that. But the idea of the Chamber of Commerce is awesome. Think about what a Chamber of Commerce does. We often have information in our field trip workbooks and sometimes even presentations by folks from the Chamber of Commerce. And they're not real estate people. But what a Chamber of Commerce does is they go out and they tell the story and they attract people to a marketplace. Their job really is to sell the market. And if my job as an investor is to understand the market, there is some great data there. And I didn't have to pay for it directly, but it's great stuff. And subscribing to their information and getting at least their annual publication is great information that you're not going to get too many other places, because they know specifically what types of businesses they're trying to attract, how they're doing that, how they're courting the businesses, and many times who those businesses are. Now, they won't always tell you who the businesses are, but they'll often talk about the industry. So I find Chambers of Commerce a great wealth of information.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because again, you're interested in what the local economy, the direction the local economy is taking. And so these people who eat, drink, live, breathe that space and are constantly out there are going to be the ones to help you keep your thumb on the pulse of that particular aspect. But it isn't just the economy. I mean, because people move for other reasons, especially now. We've got 10,000 plus baby boomers retiring every day. And some areas attract those people and they bring their pension and retirement accounts with them wherever they go. And that money, even though they are not employed, they don't show up in the employment numbers, they do support service workers, because these are the people who are going out to eat the restaurants, they're getting their laundry done, they're going to the Starbucks, they have to get their car serviced, they go to the doctor, they do all those things. And so those jobs can exist where there aren't a lot of jobs being created if it's a retirement or resort type of community. So this is not talking economics now, we're really talking demographics. You get to know your market demographically, and then you have to ask yourself, is the marketplace attracting more of the kind of demographic that is either likely to support the local economy and support people who would live or work in your property? So it's a matter of kind of matching up. And that this is where your personal investment philosophy gets involved also, because you may decide, hey, I don't want to work with low-end housing. I just don't want to. But you're dealing with a marketplace. That's the kind of work they're creating. That's the kind of price point and product. That's where the opportunity is. Like, okay, that's not a good market for me. Well, sometimes a market starts out not being that kind of a market, and then something happens, it starts moving. Think about it. I'm going to use Detroit as an example. Detroit at one time was the richest city in the world.
Yep.
And Michigan was a very prosperous state because of that. Look at it today. Detroit was the largest municipality bankruptcy in history. It's the poster child for poorly run government, disastrous economic result, and it has had a profound impact on real estate.
Well, this is a great example, because if I bought in Michigan 30 years ago and I just forgot about it and just sat there, I might wake up one day going, oh my goodness, this was so strong. So the point is, if you were to check in regularly, at some point you'd go, you know what, might be time to transition out of Michigan into some other places, because I hear there's good movement in other markets. That's the point. You can't spend every waking hour studying the market you're in unless you're a full-time real estate investor and you don't have a life. But you also can't just plug and forget it. You've got to check in regularly. And whatever reason it was that you selected the submarket within a market and the product type you did, you got to check that. You got to continue to make sure, knowing what I know now, would I make that decision again? Would I buy that property again? Many times as real estate investors, we look back and a deal we thought was just fabulous, 10 years later, we go, what was I thinking? That was not a great deal. It was at the time for the information I had, but we don't always have hindsight. What continuously updating the market information does for you is it lets you stay current. And that's what we want to know, is what's that picture today, not just what was it a year ago?
Right. So we've talked economics, we've talked about demographics, and then, you know, we can talk about some of the other things you're going to be looking at also. But the key is that these things move slowly. That's the beautiful thing about real estate. There's plenty of space for you to stay in touch and yet have a life, a day life. You don't have to have a day job, but you do want to have a day life, right? You don't want to make real estate investing what you have to spend all of your time doing and thinking about. And our point of all of this is that if you are paying attention, you will and know what you're looking for, you will begin to see the winds of change blowing in which direction they're blowing before the next guy. And if you need to make a move where you're going to add more or you're going to move away, you're going to see that coming. And that's really what this episode's all about.
How do you keep up with the market you're interested in and the market you're in? We'll continue to have that discussion and we'll play real estate trivia next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you ready to profit in paradise? Hi, it's Robert Helms. And if you think real estate investing means tenants, toilets, and termites, think again. Located just a short plane ride from the U.S., a virtually untouched paradise awaits. The beautiful country of Belize. When you go to Belize with the Real Estate Guys, you'll spend four fabulous days discovering one of the most intriguing real estate markets I've ever seen. With its jungle rainforests, pristine beaches, and 81-degree turquoise water, Belize is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Plus, it's considered one of the top seven tax havens in the world. Belize property is on the rise, and many experts think the best is yet to come. But don't just take my word for it. Come experience Belize firsthand at our upcoming investor field trip. When you join us, you'll discover the many reasons we love Belize, like tremendously undervalued beachfront land, super low taxes, ease of doing business, and so much more. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events. See paradise for yourself. Click events at realestateguysradio.com, and I'll see you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, this is Lawrence Yun, Chief Economist with National Association of Realtors, and you are listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show, whether you're doing that on the radio, online, podcast, however it is you found us, we're glad you're here. We're talking today about some of the things you can do to keep your thumb on the pulse of a real estate market you're either already investing in or interested in investing in. Before we get back to that discussion, it's time to play real estate trivia. That's your chance to win a prize by answering today's real estate trivia question. And as soon as you hear the question and know the answer, what you're going to do is send an email to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, your physical mailing address, and the answer to the question. So if you're the winner, we can get you a copy of Robert Kiyosaki's latest book. It's called Second Chance. That can be yours if you know today's real estate trivia question. Last week on the show, we were talking about forcing equity and profit through real estate development. We asked this: the largest private real estate development in the United States is currently underway. What's it called? Well, the answer, Hudson Yards, which is on 28 acres in Manhattan. When finished, more than 17 million square feet of commercial, residential, and retail property. Construction began back in 2011 and is scheduled to reach completion in 2020. And total construction cost? Estimated to top $20 billion. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. The house that was used in the film 16 Candles was recently put on the market this June for just under $1.5 million. In what city is the house located? Yep, in what city is the house located? That was the set for the movie 16 Candles. If you know or want to take a guess, send us your best answer to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, your mailing address, so we can send you Robert Kiyosaki's book, Second Chance, and the answer to the question. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're talking today about keeping your thumb on the pulse of the markets that you're in and the market you're thinking about going in. You know, my methodology is I'll start to notice a market and I'll look at it from afar. I may go there because I like to see the markets up close, but usually early on, I'm getting the buzz. I'm starting to hear about it. I'm reading an article here and there. And before you know, it's like, well, we better go to that market and check it out. And sometimes we wrap that around another trip, or it becomes on the way home from another place, and let's go check out the market for a day or two. And that's great. But eventually you make the decision that, okay, this market is worthy of my time. You go and you study it in that moment, that snapshot we talked about. And then once you make the decision to pull the trigger and buy a property, now you better pay attention. To your point before the break, Russ, you don't have to pay attention every minute, but you also need to check in regularly enough to know. Now, part of the information, where do you get the information? You're going to get from your team. Critically important to have a local team, property managers, brokers, local lenders in the area that can feed you that information. But they're busy too. And so you have a great technique you've been using for a lot of years to keep up on the handful of markets that are of interest to you.
Yeah, it's great. It's kind of like this little alert system. In fact, it's called Google Alerts.
There you go.
And that's the way it works. And what you do is you put in a couple of keywords like quotation, real estate, plus quotation, Dallas, or Memphis, or Atlanta, or Orlando, or whatever your market is. I also like to put in quotation economy plus Atlanta, Dallas, you know, whatever Memphis, whatever markets I happen to be watching. And then every day news comes into me. I just scan those headlines and I just kind of know what's going on. I don't read the articles. I just scan the headlines. But every once in a while, I get an article like, ooh, that's interesting. I'm going to look more into that. Now I read the article. It's like, okay, I understand, as I mentioned earlier in the show, right, that those things are not written talking to me. They're usually written talking to somebody else. Sometimes I'm reading a trade article. It really is written by a real estate investor, or it's a blog on a real estate investment website or something like that, because these things come from wherever.
Sure.
But what it does is it gives me a chance to read the article. Now, to your point, Robert, I can pick up the phone, assuming I've taken the time to build a team, and I can begin to get a 360 on that article. I'm not saying the article's right. I'm saying it raised my awareness. And so now I'm going to get on the phone and I'm going to say, hey, I read about this. I'm going to talk to my team, but I'm also going to talk to other people. And again, if it's a big enough deal, I think, you know what, I'm going to go check this out. So you get on the plane, and that's where, again, you're talking to the passengers on the plane. You're talking to the cabbie. You're talking to the people at the hotel. You're talking to the people at the restaurant when you're eating. You're asking the waiter or the waitress or the person pouring your coffee. Every single person you come into contact with, you try and work the conversation around to whatever it is, that thing you came to check out. And I like to start with a broad question, which really has to do with, hey, you know, what's going on in the real estate market here? And let them talk to me.
Yeah.
And then I say, well, yeah, but I heard about this situation, this employer coming in, or this employer leaving, or this property tax just got raised, or this, you know, negative legislation got passed or whatever. How's that affecting things? Oh, we haven't heard anything yet. Or, oh, yeah, that's a big deal, you know? Oh, okay, well, tell me more. Why do you feel that way? So again, how do you keep your thumb on the pulse? You talk to the people who are actually in the marketplace every day. They're your boots on the ground, which means that part of your job is not just to maintain an awareness of the marketplace, but it's to maintain the relationships with the people in the markets. One of the reasons we come back and visit markets regularly, because it rekindles those relationships with the people that we depend upon to give us honest answers and have our back.
It's a huge point. It's a relationship business, and it's critical that you get into those relationships, but it's difficult to get into quality relationships with great service providers if you're not yet in the marketplace, right? We often talk about the fact that the best brokers that we know in markets aren't taking many more clients, if any, because their book of business is full, because they do such a great job. So you don't get to call up as the guy thinking about investing in a market and get an hour of the top broker's time. That's not going to happen. The guy that has plenty of time to give you is probably not the person you're going to want on your team.
But there is a way, because if you do find out who the top people are in a marketplace, which is pretty easy to do, then a lot of times these guys are being quoted in the news. They're going to be writing articles. They may have a blog. They may have a YouTube channel or something like that. Sometimes there's conventions or trade shows that are specific to the industry, and you can go and you can hear them speak. So there are ways to get their information from them without necessarily being able to pick up the phone. And the more current you can get, like a real-time blog or something, you know, a current event, a seminar or something going on in their area, you know, if you're going to go to all the trouble to do that, you know, you spend 2 or 3 days and you hit a lot of different things. And again, this is where the man on the street interview, as well as the subject matter experts and people who have different agendas. A property manager is going to feel differently about that than maybe a broker would, and a lender is going to feel differently. They're all going to have different inputs, right? And so you want to try to get that from everybody. But you can get in relationships with the top people without necessarily talking to them directly, because you only have to know one person who knows them, and then you can work through them and find out, hey, well, have you talked to this person lately? What did they have to say?
Yeah, absolutely. And you want to pay attention to that stuff. And there's a lot of other stuff you pay attention to as well, because as a market evolves, as a market changes, new opportunities show up. When you see the edge of a burgeoning market starting to change and shift, it's who's going there and why. Many times this weekend, we went into areas that this is a big marketplace that we've spent a lot of time in, but we saw areas we'd never seen before. It's like, why are these houses here? Oh, well, this is a great bedroom community because of this industry that has two giant operations going in over here. Oh, wow, my goodness, this would be a great place to live if I was a mid-level of executive. Okay, well, then does that make economic sense, a property like that? Things like salaries and jobs are readily attainable. You can find that information out. You talked earlier about the types of jobs and industries. Easy to find out. If an industry affects my tenant base, I can learn a lot through the companies and their reports, especially if they're publicly traded companies, and what's happening in their trade journals and all that kind of stuff. So we can see where is the puck going. When we hear about a big company relocating its headquarters somewhere, that's a clue.
Well, and one of the points that you bring up a lot is you talk about current stakeholders. Are they bearish? Are they bullish? And I thought that's really strong. And, you know, a lot of that is evident, right? You look at the local government. You look at, are they putting in major infrastructures? The airport being expanded? Is it being improved? Are the freeways being widened? Are they adding new arteries? A lot of these things are in the planning process. There's a lot of moving parts. And the infrastructure goes in ahead of anticipated growth in a well-run community. And so you can be aware of the path of progress. You can be aware of the slower growth. Another aspect of that is when there's a lot of infrastructure being installed, it also creates a lot of what could be temporary employment. One thing I got leery about after having gone through the Las Vegas experience is Las Vegas was experienced pre-crash 2004-2005, a mega building boom. Tens of thousands of people were there working in construction jobs. And then when that construction wound down, some of the major projects, and of course, when the funding markets imploded, then a lot of the stuff that was scheduled to come out of the ground didn't come out of the ground. Those jobs went away.
Construction jobs in general, by their nature, tend to be more temporary. Think about what construction is. We're building something, right? And then it's done, and we go build something else. So if it's something that's got a long runway, like housing, and there's a lot of housing starts and permits, and we can look all that information up, and we need to, we're good. But if they're coming in and building, like in Las Vegas City Center, right, the largest employer for a long time, and then all those jobs, once it was built, gone.
Yeah, those jobs went away, and then the people who were staffing the hotels, those jobs came online. But those are different jobs.
Yes.
Those are different jobs. Those are different pay scales. That's a different demographic. If you did your whole personal investment philosophy around catering to the guys doing the construction work, you may not have a product or a price point that's appealing to the people who are working in the hotel. So that's just, you know, an example.
Yeah, and there's lots of examples like that. You know your markets that you're in, and you know what your product type is. The key is to hone in on changes in that marketplace. Another big area is tenant-landlord law. You know, you alluded to that, but I remember a particular market we were in, there was a big change in the tenant-landlord law, and all of a sudden, a bunch of buildings went empty and a bunch of tenants scattered, and oh my goodness, that affects you. If you don't see that coming, you're going to get caught up in it.
Well, I mean, yeah, in that particular issue, that was a state that had a lot of undocumented people in it.
Yep.
And as a result of that, when they started clamping down on that, those people left town. And, you know, if you're not paying attention, you know, that can catch you. Well, right now, there are some political things going on. There's a mood in the country, and you have to pay attention, especially if you're in a border state, you know, and you're like, what if we really did build a wall? Does that change your business? You know, it could create a lot of construction jobs in that area, you know, temporarily. So again, these are just things that you have to learn to pay attention to so that you can begin to see the trends. One thing that's interesting that's going on right now, for the first time in a very, very long time, places like Walmart are closing stores.
Yeah.
It used to be, hey, anywhere there's a Walmart, boy, that's a blessing. You know, that's just, it's a proof of concept. Now there are places, Walmart is opening stores. And they are closing stores.
Because they keep their thumb on the pulse. They know exactly the trends of shoppers, and they know where the puck is headed.
So if I'm paying attention to a market, probably any market I'm in, I'm interested in what are the major stakeholders. What are the Costco? What is the dollar store? What is Walmart? Are these people expanding their footprint, or are they contracting their footprint? What is happening for the types of products and services that my tenant base is going to need, because the people who are anticipating that volume of business are anticipating population growth. I want to be a part of that. People who are shutting down are telling me that population is maybe shrinking or getting weaker financially. I need to be paying attention so I can begin to make strategic moves also. And the great news is, if you're listening to this podcast or radio show, and if you're out there paying attention, you're in the minority. Most of your fellow real estate investors in whatever your market are probably not paying attention, which means that when things begin to shift, you're going to be the first person in or the first person out, as opposed to the person left holding the bag or missing the boat.
We're talking today about keeping your pulse on real estate markets. How do you make sure that your knowledge is up to date, not only personally, but with your team? More when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Hey, this is Phil Collin from Def Leppard and Delta D. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. We appreciate you. Tell a friend about The Real Estate Guys. You know what? Come out to an event. I mean, we'd love to have you at a field trip. We don't have too many of those in the calendar. It's not because we are not interested in going to marketplaces, but if you're interested in coming out and hanging with The Real Estate Guys, just go to our website at realestateguysradio.com under events, and you'll see when we get the field trips on the calendar. It's a great way to see a market and really see some of this stuff up close. You know, we had some great discussion on the trip about the market is vibrant. The market here, just to cut to the chase in a lot of ways, in terms of the Dallas market, very vibrant, a lot going on, tons of infrastructure, cranes everywhere, jobs. I mean, folks felt like, my goodness, I think many of us, including myself, surprised at the performance of rental properties here. Maybe not the ease of getting in because it's harder to find inventory, but our great providers are doing that. Still, you have a paradigm about a market. I think for many ways it was shattered here. But one of the questions came up is that, well, this market's been strong for the last year or two. Is it too late to get into the market? That itself is a different conversation. But what we talked as we talked through that, of what are the signs you look for? And there are signs when a market is overheated, and there are signs when there's still room to go. And that's why you want to keep your thumb on the pulse. You want to find out, what does it look like today? I make a purchase decision because the market is strong. Does it stay strong? And if you'll do that, what'll happen is you'll know when it's time to double down, and you'll know when it's time to maybe head for the exits.
Yeah, you're going to like this, because if you're data driven, right, we're going to get into a little bit of data. And it's kind of hard to do on a radio show, but it kind of works like this. If prices are going up in a market, it should be because rents are going up. because now you are paying a comparable amount in terms of a multiple for income. It's like price earnings ratio on stocks, right?
Right. We call it gross air multiplier in a healthy market. I mean, we saw a house that last year on this field trip would have been $125,000 and rent for $1,150. So kind of just less than the 1% per month that a lot of investors like to look at. This trip, that same house, $145,000, renting for $1,375. So the rents are up, the prices are up, but that ratio, fairly consistent. That's a healthy market.
That's a healthy market. Now, if you don't know how to watch that, you don't know how to look at that, a lot of times real estate investors forget what they're investing for. They think they're buying the property, and they think they want to buy the property low and sell the property high.
Right.
That's called a round trip to a pile of paper.
Yeah.
Right. And you end up with a bunch of dollars you're going to put in a savings account and earn nothing on. And we could do a whole thing on the dollar and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, what you're looking to do is you're looking to accumulate the efforts of others, the stream of income. You're not even about acquiring the property. You are interested in acquiring the tenant.
Yes. And the stream of cash flow thereof.
That's right. So that's really what you focus on. And so the value of the property is interesting. That's just the price of admission. Does the income you are acquiring make sense for the property for the price, right? Is the ratio, is the cap rate like on an apartment building, or again, rough number GRM? You can do a back of the napkin real easily by just checking the prices of three bedroom, two bath houses, for example, if that's your product type, and the rent for a three bedroom, two bath house, and just start plotting that. Maybe once a month, make it your routine to just go in and plot that. And you can begin to see if it's changing. If you take that annual rent and you divide that into the purchase price and that number is getting higher, then people are bidding more money for the same income. And it's telling you the market's beginning to heat up. At some point, you may decide, hey, the market's overheated and I'm going to sell my property, do a 1031 tax deferred exchange into a market where the numbers work better. Or maybe I'd like to hold on to the property long term, but I'm going to pull some equity off the table with a cash out refinance and deploy that money someplace else or sequester it in case there's a market pullback, as long as the cash flow makes sense, right? And you can control the property long term. But that's a numerical data-driven indicator. It's not the whole answer, but it alerts you, just like a news alert about what's going on in the local economy. It lets you know for this particular product type, investors are chasing yield. And when they start to do that, that's when you go moving from fundamental growth to bubble growth.
Well, this is a critical thing to understand. I mean, imagine the scenario we just talked about where a house a year ago was 125 and now it's 145, but the rent was exactly the same. If that was the case, that's not a healthy sign. That means that investors are chasing yield and the property isn't performing better. The price is simply getting bid up. So you could look at that from afar and go, well, look, the price went up. I guess it's a good market. No, you don't want to understand the price went up. You want to understand why did the price go up.
It's just like what's going on in the stock market right now. You have companies borrowing money at ridiculously low interest rates and buying their shares back. So you have stock buybacks driving up stock prices instead of fundamental earnings growth.
Right.
And so these companies aren't performing better financially. The stocks are going up in value. They're being bid up by people who are borrowing next to free money. And you're building up a huge pile of corporate debt in order to acquire stock, which holds your stock price up. So you have the illusion of prosperity, but you don't have real prosperity. If your home price goes up, but your rent isn't going up, you have the illusion of prosperity. You don't have prosperity. Prosperity comes from real production, which is reflected in income. And that income, that percentage of income that flows through the property to you through the tenant, that's real growth. And if the property price is reflecting real growth of income, you have a sound market. Otherwise, you have perhaps a speculative market and you have to begin to pay attention. Is it time to take some chips off the table and maybe look for greener pastures?
That's exactly why you need to keep your thumb on the pulse. You need to know what's happening in the market. You need to know what's happening to the value of a property, even though we can argue the price of your property only matters if you're selling or refinancing. But knowing what the market is doing and knowing when there's opportunity to stay in, to double down, or to hunker down, that's what's critical. And here's the thing. It doesn't take that much time. The disciplines we've talked about of setting Google alerts and checking them with your providers and reading some trade journals, that doesn't take that much time. As Jim Rohn would say, it's easy to do, but it's also easy not to do. So I think our big message today is not to be asleep at the wheel. Investment property can be slow and boring and like watching paint dry if all you're doing is buying for the long term and keeping those properties managed by professionals. But it's your mission as the owner to make sure you're keeping the big picture in mind. Easy to do, easy not to do. The great part is there's so many great resources today. We'd love to see you at an event and get to shake your hand and say hi. We sure had a good time meeting a bunch of listeners this week. Look, people we've seen before and people we have never met. We've met a couple of folks that have been listening for 4, 5, 6 years, and they finally came out to a Real Estate Guys event.
We know you're out there, so come on out. We know you're out there. We want to get to know you.
Absolutely. So big thanks to all our Dallas providers for putting on a great show this weekend and showing the people not only was there a great promise in the market, but how to look and study a market. That was one of the big benefits. Hey, next week on the show, more great stuff. In the meantime, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723 extension 4. That's 888-489-7723 extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.